Okay, that was wonderful. Good to be home. And let's see what we'll do. Father, just bless these words now. Thank you for this excellent spirit in this place. Graduation, we think about that. Oh, Sunday school, you are dismissed. Everybody out in Mr. Danny's car today. Detail the car for Sunday school. Okay, how do you use this detailing my car? Okay, so let's see. Father, just bless these words now. Thank you for each and everyone here, those out there as well, the young people, the workers, each one of us, Lord, as we think about graduating and think about that big word and what it really means. And thank you. The Merrill family, they mean to this church and to the kingdom of God as well. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. This is for you. Okay, Luke Elliott, is it? Luke Anthony Merrill, graduate. Okay, and Ben is graduating next week from Bible College. And there's... And, Teresa graduated. Yeah. Okay. So graduation time. Pray for Helen. Benjamin's taking her to Lima for a couple weeks. And he's got the whole rope and he's got the whole thing prepared. So he's going to take care of his mom for a couple weeks, be with his family. That's good. Okay. And, wonderful to be with the family again and see our new grandbaby. And this is like, you know, it's like you said, Luke, this is all surreal in one sense. And what makes it real is this idea of something being very genuine. And I think graduation is a genuine time in our lives. I mean, I just went to my 50th high school reunion. How's that for genuine? The only one who's got me beat here is Pastor Keene. He went to his 150th. And there were only two guys left. And back then in Maine, it was just a one-room schoolhouse growing up. But good to see Pastor Keene and Sherry, your son. Awesome. And I thought about, maybe this will be for you. Okay, so here's four things let's talk about in 2 Timothy. Not a list type of preacher, but I'll give you four things that would work for you in this graduation address, because there's so many people speaking at so many graduations. They're usually so long. This one won't be. In 2 Timothy 3, the Word of God says, in verse 14, this is Paul speaking to his son in the faith. He's saying, "You, however, continue in the things you have learned and you've become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation and deliverance through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." Some powerful words, and Paul saying many things through these verses, but you can look at a couple of them. Number one, he's saying to Timothy, continue in the things you have learned. I would say to all of us as we graduate from one thing or another, don't stop learning. There is a sense where knowledge puffs up, and there's an admonition that Paul had given us to not be manthano learners, ever learning but never coming to the knowledge of the truth. But that's not what we're talking about here. Here we're talking about being a student for life. It is great to be a student. Those of you who have graduated and go on, though you look forward to the next thing and the next thing, but we're called to study to show ourselves approved, and that's 24/7 for the rest of our lives. To be a student of this book is the most genuine, real thing on planet Earth. God has given us many gifts and privileges, but the most important one is to have a genuine righteousness, a genuine grace, genuine mercy that comes only from God. And you get that from being a student. We had a motto in our school growing up, Pastor John's school, and Frontline Church School, and we said, our children will be taught of the Lord, and great will be the peace of our children. That came, Mrs. Stambowski coined that verse out of Isaiah, somewhere, 53, 52, 54, verse 3 or 4. Thank you, Ava. Ava does that well, corrects me in public. But she's part of the family too. So our children will be taught of the Lord, and great will be the peace of our children. Isn't that good? So first thing, I want a student for life. I want to be able to, you know, get my books. You remember that first day of school where you cracked those books and cracked the notebooks? Well, that may not happen in a lot of schools these days. And there's a lot of demonic and negative activities in the school classrooms of the world today with all this horrible stuff that's happening in schools. But today we can still students. I want to be a student of the Word of God for the rest of my life. Paul's saying that to Timothy. I'm an old man and I'm giving you, young man, some pointers, and this is one of them. Second thing he says, and become, you're convinced of those things, knowing from whom you have learned them. That's a big deal right there. Knowing from whom you have learned them. You didn't get to be so book smart or not book smart from just your own genius. This came from great teachers, and so many teachers and so many people who have taught you lessons in life have taught you things. The internet teaches things, but there's nothing like a person that you would remember taught you things and who can be part of that memory in your life, in your fragrance of memory that you were telling me about school, and you're in school and college, and you connect to, somebody will talk to you and teach you, and you'll connect to that person more than probably any other, and that's important. And the same holds true in our spiritual lives. We have one pastor teacher at a time for our lives. Pastor Drew and I had the privilege of having Pastor Stevens as our pastor, and Pastor Keene, and many of you. Pastor Stevens was our pastor, and boy, he was a unique man of God. Deep as deep can get. Wide, we were blessed. And it's always going to be there for all eternity. I'll consider him my pastor. And Pastor Schauer now is no second choice at all. He's awesome to be accountable for and to. When I receive something that I learn from these guys and I can apply it to my life, and it's genuine and it's real, I graduate in a sense every time I hear them. And that's important for our lives. And Paul's saying that to Timothy. You've learned something that you're convinced of, and you know who you've learned it from. You know, those days. And I still remember a junior high school teacher I had, a French teacher. And, it's crazy. So that's got to be 60 plus years ago. And I remember her and how she influenced my life. And back then, teachers could beat you in Massachusetts. Now, if they beat you, if they even think of beating you, they go to jail. But she took the stick, and if you didn't get the lesson, she just whacked you across the head. I remember that. Those were the days, huh? Oh my God. But her name was Miss Accorsi, and she taught us French, and I remember her standing there and teaching. And John's mom, Rachel's mother-in-law, went to a Mennonite school, one-room schoolhouse, and there were a lot of kids and a lot of grades in one classroom. That's another error, but there are things that we glean from our educational life, but we also glean from our church life. And God gives each and every believer a pastor teacher after his heart, Jeremiah 3:15. To give him and teach them understanding and to show them what life's all about, how to live and how to die to ourselves and how to be selfless and serving. And these are things that we've learned, and they're important things for the graduate. Third thing, it says this, that, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings which are able to give you wisdom that leads to deliverance and faith. From childhood, we all have to be born somewhere, huh? And I was born in Springfield, Massachusetts, the son of rabbi and a wife who was a nurse and a captain in the Air Force and served in World War II. And I'm so thankful for my upbringing in Springfield. Life with my father's family came from Russia as immigrants in 1908, came to this country and worked hard and slaved and suffered and built a life that we were all proud of. Went from extreme poverty to ending up investing well and having some money when they died. But the life that they gave us was the best life I could ever possibly have. My brother and my sister. And I remember these things. And the same, you can continue in the things you've learned and you're convinced of and knowing from whom you've learned them. That's also important. And there's also a length to that from childhood. Just like you said, Luke, you preach this. From childhood, I remember the Circatellas and once Dad took me to some really nice restaurant in Budapest. I'll never forget that. That was a good guy. And he treated too. Because he knew the owner. He was in the Four Seasons or somewhere. But the things that we connect to, they're important for us, from childhood. The fragrance of our memories is real. How your young people, how you're raising your children up, that's so important. Because they'll remember things for the rest of their lives. They'll be impressed by things. They'll be motivated by things. You train up those children in the way they should go. The word train in the Hebrew there is the word chanach. And it doesn't mean to beat them into submission so they'll do everything you tell them to do. It means to educate them in the mind of God. And you would educate your children. You should plant some seeds there, and that seed would never return void. All of us have had the privilege of being raised up and grown up in this church environment. It's such a wonderful thing. A lot of my time I spend talking to people who have no idea what it means to be raised up in this type of loving, caring environment, in the family of God environment. And Paul's saying the same to Timothy. You're graduating now, and this is what I'm giving you. You've known the sacred writings, which leads to salvation and to deliverance and faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Last thing is, don't ignore the Lord, salvation and deliverance. Do you know, although we believe wholeheartedly 1 million% in eternal security, I like getting saved every moment. You know, I'm saying that in the sense of remembering my Creator in the days of my youth, remembering how faithful God is in a moment of time. When I have a thought that's godly, when I have an idea that's holy, when I have a recognition of Christ in someone else, this is the joy that we have of never forgetting the Lord. You say, oh, I could never forget Jesus. Well, we could go so far away that we get so familiar that we get, you know, all these prodigal moments we might have that might turn into more than moments. And God will never forget us. He'll never cease loving us, never cease caring for us. As David read today, and Pastor David read in Psalm 91, he will bring you up on high. He has a high standing for you, a high place for you in Psalm 91, verse 14. And these are things that are important. I remember my Creator. Karen and I spend a lot of time with her parents in Pennsylvania these days, and they're in their late 80s, and it's wonderful to be in a community of Christians who are preparing to go home. You can sense their optimism with the plan in one sense, and you can also sense their deep love for the Lord. They don't forget God in the last moments, in their pains and in their sufferings and in their longings. They talk about it a lot. They're excited about it. And those are the things that are genuinely the Lord in your life. Polish those trophies off and take them out and look at them and encourage yourself with them and be fruitful in those things, because that really matters. So in this graduation season that we find ourselves in, when you hear so many different messages of encouragement of how to succeed in life without really trying, whatever you have to do, you know, you've come from Luke and Ben and all you guys, you've a place where all of us have been and will be, that this matters. Life matters. The Lord matters. What you've been taught matters. Who taught you those things really matter. Isn't that important today? that exciting that there's no strings attached. It's just who we are. This is what I want to learn. I want to be a learned one. I want to be one of those guys sitting there reading my Bible. A story we used to, I remember that Pastor Chris and Pastor Jason Moore's mother, she was sitting in her rocking chair on a porch in Saco, Maine, and rocking back and forth, reading her Bible. And next thing she knows, she stopped breathing. She was in heaven. That's a learned woman. I remember that girl. Just rocking back and forth in the chair, reading her Bible. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. That's quite a home. Interesting. It's amazing to think of. We just did a face-to-face service of a lady in our church. She was filled with cancer, but the testimonies at her, she was young, she was only 50, and the testimonies at her face-to-face service were beautiful. She couldn't go out anywhere or do anything, but she had her own little connection to what she had been taught, who she was in the faith, to her pastor, to her ministry, and to her Lord. That's what really matters. That's really genuine success in the Lord, isn't it? Is that good? And that's what I want to know the rest of my life. God will take care of the rest, and we're not lazy people, and we can be industrious and creative, and we can do all the things in life. And you guys are becoming a lot like your parents, as much as you'd hate to admit that. We can see that. That's what wisdom is. Wisdom is recognizing that young people are getting to be a lot like the older one, the next generation, though there's nothing new under the sun, Solomon said. So as you consider all these things, that's the message that we bring. That we have some hope. We nobody's going to extinguish this spirit of burning in us and the wall of fire around us. Why? Because we are the people of God. God called us for this purpose. And graduation means it's a genuine stamp of approval on not just hard work, but on the continuance of God's love story for all of us. In Jesus' name, amen.
And today we're just going to speak about the value of a soul and the value of your soul. You have a soul? Yes. Right? Are you a soul man? I hope not. But chances are maybe we are. You know, we're not supposed to be anymore, but maybe I am just a soul man. But the value of your soul to the Lord, and then what he would have us to do with our souls, because we spend a lot of time, you know, living. What do I mean when I say soul? I mean mind, the emotions, the will, consciousness, right, and the self-consciousness. And, you know, Christ came to save souls, right? Like, maybe I am saved, and, I hope so. And what about, you know, my soul? So that's what we're going to speak about this morning, all right? Father, we're just thankful for this time for you, just as we think about our own souls and souls of the lost and rejoicing of a soul and the prospering of a soul and, you know, how you would have us think, you know, concerning soul. Our Savior even speaking about his own soul, Lord. And that you would maybe like enlighten us as Pastor John prayed that we would like receive something fresh and new. And there's always so much. By your Spirit, Lord, to take place in us. So here as we just, you know, come into your presence, Lord. We thank you for the words spoken thus far, Lord. And then this time, in the name of Christ, amen. So if you'll turn in your Bibles first to 1 Corinthians 15, and we have the first Adam, second Adam, you know. First Adam, I think it's in verse 48. I'm not going to turn to these verses. I mean, you can, or maybe I should. Takes too long to turn to the verse. That's pretty lame, isn't it? All right. Otherwise, you may never get there. All right, let's go to First Corinthians 15, because the first Adam, you know him, right? You know Adam, that guy? You know, he was a living soul, right? And the second Adam is what? A quickening spirit. Now, who am I? Well, I'm a living soul, right? But I am also a quickening. It's verse 45, 1 Corinthians 15. So it is written, the first man, Adam, was a living soul. You and I, we are born living souls, minds, emotions, wills. We make our own decisions, no question about it, right? Second Adam, Jesus Christ, is what? Quickening spirit. Okay? I'm a living soul, and then I am a quickened spirit. Now, what am I? Am I just a living soul? Or am I a quickened spirit? All right, this message is going to be too surreal. I'm sorry. too many living souls and not enough quickening spirits here. No, well, that's lame, isn't it? Pastor, how can you say that? Well, you know, I'm standing here. Okay. How can you say it? Okay. Here would be the criteria. Is God quickening me? You know? Of course he is. Say yes. The answer is yes. All right, we're going to give you the answers today. Is God quickening me? Yes, he is. What is he quickening? He's quickening my living soul by his spirit, that I don't follow my soul anymore, but I follow the spirit of God. Amen? Right answer? That's who you really are. Maybe you're living in your soul, but you're going to stop today. Today is the last day. Let's have a little graduation party. Funeral / graduation party for your soul, right? The funeral is you're going to say, goodbye, soul. I'm so sorry that you've ruled and reigned so long and your days are over. Graduation is I am now going to be a quickened spirit, right? That's what Pastor Stanback, graduation. I'm going to be a quickened spirit, not just a, because you know, a living soul is a very sad life, isn't it? Because you're left to your own thinking, your own desires, your own, a living soul, because like a living soul is just a lacking inside of the human being that never gets quenched, okay? Are you familiar with that? Okay, that's living soul. That's the one we want to have the funeral for. No more living soul. The quickened spirit is the one that's believing the promises of God, right? And really receiving the full effect of what Jesus Christ has done for us. Second Adam, Jesus Christ is what? A quickening spirit. Look in, I like it in 3 John, and I think it's in chapter 2, we have, you know, his prayer. 3 John verse 2. Beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health. Amen? Got that? That's what living souls like to do. Prosper, be in health. You know, the plan, fixing, building, you know, gaining, you know, it's okay, you know. He's saying, I want that for you. However, it's secondary to something else. And like we, by the grace of God as believers, we have the privilege to put things like in the right order. Because we live by the word of God, right? I mean, we actually live by the spirit of God. We have to be quickening spirits. Otherwise, we are of all men most miserable. 1 Corinthians 15. If it's just in this life, you know, and sometimes we can get this way. The world wants to say it's just this life. And he says, if we think that way, we're kind of like, I know no one does this, but you ever like this, like you're just miserable. You know, good pity party. You know, the woe is me. Like, nobody's helping me. Like, when will I get mine? Are you familiar with this thinking? Well, stop it. Because that's the soul, right? And you're no longer a living soul. You're a quickened spirit. So you just rebuke yourself. Like, you ever watch those cartoons? They're they're slapping themselves around. Come on, soul. Straighten up and get quickened by the Spirit of God. You quit living in the soul pity man of emotions and you live by the Spirit of God. And he's saying, that's what I, above all things, I want you to put, I want it as what? The second part of the verse. As your soul would prosper. How does my soul prosper? It prospers by being quickened by the Spirit of God. No longer me in my little mental attitude of my plan, but my plan is like, first, I have a God in heaven. And you know what? He's taking care of me. Listen to this little rebuke. Well, it's actually a big rebuke. It's in, Matthew somewhere. I think it's in 16, Matthew 16 with, you know, with the Lord and Peter, because Christ begins to like, talk about his suffering, you know, here in verse 21 of Matthew 16. You know, Christ begins to show what things he will suffer, the elders, the chief priests, how he'll die, you know, like he's just telling them how it's going to go down. Well, Peter don't like this ideal. Because he's living in his soul. So he's going to pull Jesus aside, you know, little one-on-one with Jesus. Going to straighten him out a little bit. You ever try to straighten Jesus out? Now, Lord, don't you think there's a better way, Lord, than the cross? You know, you don't really have to die, do you? And so Peter took him aside and like, oh, wait a minute. He's not counting him. He's rebuking him. Hey, wait a minute, Lord. Be it far from you, Lord, this cannot be unto thee. And here, you know, this, have you ever said this to anybody? And he turns and says to Peter, get behind me, Satan. How you like that one? Get thou behind me, Satan. That's what I want to hear. Get behind me, Satan. Can you hear that? Can you say that? Like when your soul's rising up and depression's wanting to set in and that mode of like, you know, that the atmosphere wants to come heavy upon you. What do you say? Get behind me, Satan. Got it? You got an answer. What's the answer? Get behind me, Satan. You got it? Because that's not who you are. You don't live in depression. You don't live in a wanton spirit anymore. You live quickened by the Spirit of the living God. Amen? Get behind me, Satan. You know? Because all that stuff's based on the soul, man, but you're a quickening spirit now. Still a living soul. But I don't live by the soul. I live by the Spirit. And the Spirit instructs my soul in who I am. The value of my soul is very important to the Lord. Well, so get behind me. You're an offense. Because you're an offense to me. Why? Because you savoreth not the things of God, but the things of men. Now, you know, sometimes, like in the soul, we would say, well, what's wrong with that? Of course, I got to take care of things. And yeah, of course we do. But it's not what I savoreth. It's not like the top priority. It's not the longing. It's actually only designed to be secondary. And when I put it first, I'm always yearning, I'm always turmoiling, and I'm always in a trial, and I'm never reaching a point of success because it's designed to be second to the Spirit of God. You got it? It's just putting it in the right place. Sometimes things just get a little out of place. You know, pressures, emotions, they want to rise up. And the Lord says, get behind me. That's not design for the believer priest. You savoreth not the things of God. And then in verse 24, he says, if any man will come after him, let him deny himself, take up a cross, follow me. What does this mean? I surrender, and like this is not a bad, you know, people, oh, I'm surrendering. No. It's a privilege to give up the soul man. You got it? It's not getting you anywhere, anyway, and it never will, and it'll never be satisfied, by the way. So, the idea of giving up the soul man is not drudgery, but it's actually victory. You got it? And it's the soul man that thinks it's drudgery. Oh, I'm giving up so much for Christ. What? Are you an idiot? I'm sorry, that's kind of a little brazen. Are you an idiot? Like, you're sacrificing yourself. Come on. You're sacrificing only that which your soul, which is cleaving to the dust, is trying to keep you, which needs to be surrendered and will prosper anywhere when it's put in the right place behind the Spirit of the living God. Get the quickening spirit in the situation. Not what my plan is, not what I want, but what does the Spirit God want, right? That's what our life is about. I get this from my last trip. I didn't preach on the last trip. I had to live it because physically, it was like a very hard trip. And and things just weren't working out right. I mean, I don't know right. They're working out like God wants them to, but not like we planned. Like one day we traveled 9 hours, you know. We had these guys say, well, we got this plan and we're going to fill this stadium. And we get there and it's election time and these guys are off doing political stuff, you know. So we find ourselves like in a couple, you know, out in a tribe, out in a house and project. And really we're like just winning a lot of souls. And I'm like, is this worth that? Oh, yes, it is. Right? It's the value of a soul. And like, when we think of that, we only think souls for salvation. But actually, we're going to see it's the value of my soul, faith, Jesus Christ. Got it? Because boy, it is very sad to become a soul man or to live in it, right? You got to kick your soul in the butt and let the Spirit of God guide you, give you a call and put it first, by golly. And it doesn't make sense. Well, it never makes sense. Hallelujah. That's what faith is. It doesn't make sense because it's not developed in you. It's not processed in you. It's completely outside you. It's the Spirit of God speaking to you. I mean, and of course you could say, I'm not doing that. Oh, yes, you are, because you're in church today and it takes faith to go to church. Amen. Follow me? Because what happens in church? I'm quickened in my spirit. You know what? A few minutes in the Word. Oh my Lord. This is priceless. I'm not talking about me preaching. I'm just saying time in the Word is priceless stuff because this is what we're designed to hear. This is how we're designed to live. This is how we're designed to move by the Spirit of God. So he says, for whoever will save his life, right? You got it? Verse 25. What happens? This is it. But he that loses it for my sake, you're losing what has no value anyway for my sake. That is living a soul life, right? For what profits a man who gains the whole world and loses his own soul? You know, good question, Jesus. He's asking, are you getting somewhere there, Peter? Are you getting somewhere, soul? Is your life based upon the accomplishment? You know, fulfilling your flesh or, you know, and we paint it and make it look pretty. You know, sometimes we paint it like, hey, I'm going to take care of my family. You know, we're good painters. You know, you put some paint on the barn. It don't look so old anymore, you know, and that's what we do with the soul. You know, we kind of pretty it up and we get some good reasoning behind it, you know, to support ourselves. And God says, what about me? Well, what about you? What do you want from me? No, you're mine. You're mine already. I really want for you what's best for you. And you taking care of yourself is not what's best for you. Figure that out yet? Because you don't do a very good job. Yes, I do. No, you don't. Because you're not designed to. You're designed to come after me. For what profits a man if he gains the whole world and loses? Or what will he give in exchange for his soul? Well, when it gets down to it, man, you remember the guy in Luke, I think he's in Luke 12, you know, where the guy with the barns, you know, the barn guy, he's a soul man. And he was like a prosperous thing. Luke 12:16, the ground of a certain rich man, it brought forth plenty. That's what I'm talking about. And he thought within himself, what can I do, man? I got no room to bestow my fruits. I know what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns, and I'll build greater barns, and I'll say to my soul, this sounds like, you know, like we're gonna, it's got getting rebuked, but we're almost like thinking with them, you know, like, yeah, I'll say to my soul, you have much goods laid up for many years. Take thy ease. You get that? You know, oh yeah, I got it. I'm gonna reach a point. I'm gonna take my ease and eat, drink, and be Murray. That's it. Yeah. You know, the American dream. Yeah. It's on every commercial. You know, if you still watch commercials, TiVo, what do you call that thing when you record stuff? We skip them, but it's still there, right? In everything, every ad. Yeah, there it all. I say to my soul, yeah, soul. They're doing okay. You know what God says? You know what God says? It's kind of interesting, isn't it? God says, you fool. Huh? Oh, no, no. I got the American. I got it. I finally got it. I'm happy. You know, no, you're a fool. He says, cause tonight your soul is required of thee. And then whose will these things? So is he that lays up treasures for himself. And what? Not rich toward. What does it mean to be rich towards God? It means the Lord is the one that satisfies my soul. I don't find the satisfaction in myself, but where do I find it? I don't find it in the things I accomplish. Maybe I accomplish a lot, but that's not where I find my rest. I find my rest in the Lord. And then as these other things happen, I handle them very well because the source of my rest, the source of my identity is in the quickening spirit of the Lord. And in there, I find out. And then the soul part, it's like it's subsidiary to that. And yeah, it's there. You know, I like it in Psalm 16. He says, like, you even instruct my reins in the night season. Why? Because I set the Lord before me. You see? So I'm not moved. Like, my position is very strong and my identity is in the Lord, not in the soulish things that take place upon the earth. I've got a soul and it's designed. God gave it to me. It's like, in one sense, who I am. My soul is to be instructed by the Spirit of a living God, not by myself. And it's not designed to rule and be supreme. It's designed to be subsidiary to the Spirit of the living God. Listen to what Christ says. It's in all the Gospels, but, well, let's look at it in John 12. No, because here, you know, he talks about the, you know, the corn of wheat falling in the ground, and this is in verse, 23, and the hour has come, and, you know, except the corn of wheat falls in the ground, and it abides alone, and then he that loves his life again will lose it. But now in verse 27, my soul is troubled. I think it's in Mark 14, he says, exceedingly troubled. You know, Christ is saying, my soul is troubled. Is your soul ever troubled? Yeah, maybe a lot. Actually, yeah, a lot. A matter of fact, all the time. Right? That's what souls are. They're troubled, by the way. You know? Because they're only designed to respond to the Spirit of God. Right? Like even the man that, like, he had it all. And said within himself, God says, you're a fool. Because you're out of order. You're out of the design of what you are made to be. You are made to be mine. You're made that I could guide you because I know the way in which you should go and you do not. No, I do know. Okay. Have fun, soul. Right? And we don't do so good, do we? We just get left And you know what happens if I'm left to myself? Not so good, right? You ever like this fellowship with your own soul and you're pretty miserable pretty quick? You ever notice that? Well, that's the design. So we don't go there. We fellowship with God, right? We step out. So he says, my soul is troubled. And, you know, and what shall I say? God, why am I troubled? Why is it not? Why is my plan never? You ever notice how you make plans in your soul and they never happen either? Like you always get close and something happens to make it not. You ever notice that? That's God, because He doesn't want it. Hey, you know, God's got. I'm doing that to you. I'll teach you. No, I mean in a good way. We'll see in a second. He says, "Hey, so my soul." What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. Yes, that's exactly what I say. Deliver me from my soul. But he says, no, but for this cause, aim for this hour. And in Mark it says, your will be done. Amen? What do I say to my soul? Hey, soul, wait a minute. You're in the wrong place. You're not meant to rule and to reign. You're not meant, I'm not just a living soul. I'm a quickening spirit and I'm going to move forward in the spirit of God and allow my soul to be in the right place. Where the right place for the soul is at rest because of what the spirit of God is doing. Now, you know, if you're soulish, it is miserable and I'm very sorry for this. I can't fix that for you. But the Spirit of God can bring you up out of it. And you know, and wants to. Listen to what he says. It's in Hebrews chapter 10. You know. So today is an educational lesson, as Pastor Stan. We're learning about our soul and why I'm miserable. Today we're going to teach you why if you're miserable. I don't think any of you guys are miserable. No misery in the place, is there? Little misery? A lot of misery? No misery. Degrees of misery. Okay. Here in Hebrews 10. Well, he's good. Let's see what he does here. Alrighty. Yeah, I got it. Okay. Verse 35, it says, cast not away your confidence. That is your confidence in the Lord. Right? Don't let that thing go because of situations, details, troubles, and trials. Cast not away your confidence. Don't sell the Lord so cheap, will you? Please. Cast not away your confidence. Which has great recompense of reward. Your confidence. Oh, not in my soul, my confidence in the Lord. He says, don't cast that away, you know, because soulish things are happening. Because someone said something, because money got tight, because health is maybe not doing the best, because a relationship has got strained. Don't cast away confidence. Don't allow these things to have more ground than they should, right? Like in Psalm 23, it's the want in spirit. The Lord is my shepherd. He's my guide. I shall not want. I will not allow. You know, we read that Psalm 91. I won't leave your soul. I will give the angels charge over you. Come on and lift up your head and don't cast away your confidence because listen to what he says. You have need of patience. You know, McDonald's society, that's still the fastest drive-through. I don't know who's got the fastest drive-through. Who? Chick-fil-A's nailing it pretty good. They're sweet believers, too. I love the Chick-fil-A. I mean, them guys, I think somebody's listening to God at Chick-fil-A. You know, because you can order from your phone and sit at a table and they deliver it. You can pull up in your car in the parking lot next door and they're going to bring it to you. I mean, they really have... Take it, and they're closed today. My Lord, is that a conviction? The busy, you know, all us Christians would be there eating today if they were open. And then, and they're closed. What in the world are those guys doing? Oh, Somebody got a quickening spirit there, didn't he? You know, thank God for them. And by golly, God maybe allowed them to prosper and be in health. You know, because what? Their souls prospered. Why? Because they managed to put the Lord first in business. Oh my God, how could they? Right? Amen? Us too, right guys? He says what? Oh, we have need of patience after you've done the will of God. Hey, receive the promise, right? Do what? Receive the promise. I'm for you. I'm not against you. I'm going to see you through all the way to the end. I'm not going to leave or forsake you. I'm going to get you through this. As a matter of fact, if you'd really look at me, you're through it already. So lift up your head and rejoice. Right? Need of patience. Need of patience. And remember, patience is from the Lord. Right? Just let it have its work. Don't be the living soul. Be the quickening spirit. Your soul will prosper, right? And because follow God. So he says, for yet a little while he shall come and he will not tarry. Isn't that beautiful? What a promise. Now the just shall live by faith, right? If any man draw back, my soul has no pleasure in him, the emotions. But we are not of them. You're not of them. We're not of them that draw back unto perdition, but you are of the believing to the saving of the soul. Amen? What am I doing? My soul is like Pastor Stambowski said, I'm saved, we believe in it, but you know what? I'm always being saved. My soul is continually being saved. We are believing God to the saving of a soul. Why? Because it's very, very valuable. In his presence. And we have the privilege of like saying, you know what? Hey, how's it going? At the very worst, your will be done, Lord. Right? Oh, my soul's exceedingly sorrowful. And we just stop there. And we sing the blues for the next 3 weeks. And but the Lord says, but what shall I say? I don't stop there. I say, I'd be glorified that I put my soul in the proper spot under the authority of Jesus Christ. And you know what, then, just as a believer, guy, it's a quiet confidence that we have in the Lord that spirit rules over soul. Just bring it in to the submission of the Spirit of God. Amen? Alrighty, let's have a song and we'll...